When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USC is 7-5 again. Oh, no.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rant of Troy Radio, episode 542, coming to you on Wednesday, June 5th. We're going to talk about the latest in USC football, including the 2024 schedule and how difficult it is. We're going to discuss that and so much more here on this episode, including getting to know the Michigan State Spartans in this week's A Big 10 Minute. So looking forward to that. As always, I'm your host, Mike Castillo, joined with my co-host here in the Rancher Studio in Los Angeles, Alicia D'Artoa.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. We're back again. But, you know, you are a TikTok star now.
Look at me. Is that so? Am I a TikTok star?
I'm going to call it. I mean, you got like 3 likes on your most recent TikTok, but
I mean, we got like 30 likes on our last TikTok, which was both of us. So
wow.
There you go.
Look at us.
I mean, it's entirely possible that the 3 likes on our TikTok are my 3 family members who follow Rain of Troy on TikTok.
It could be. It could be.
So, you know, obviously we're trying to build up our audience there a little bit. So if you, if anybody in the audience right now is listening and you're on TikTok, go find us at Rant of Troy. Give us some likes, give us some shares.
Rant of Troy Radio, I think it is.
While you're at it, like this video. Mm-hmm. You know, do hit that like and subscribe button and all the YouTube-y things and do the TikTok-y things and whatever.
Yeah. Irvine Kettle Rant says, does Alicia have a dance?
Absolutely not.
It would be fun. It would be fun if you did one of those.
My dance would be something in the spectrum of the embarrassment of like Elaine's dance on Seinfeld. Look at me making a Seinfeld reference for
wow.
Once.
The little kicks.
Look at that.
Yeah, can you do the dance?
It's like a.
You gotta do the thumbs. Like you gotta do the thumbs.
Yeah. And then she like kicks out her foot and stuff like that.
The little kicks.
Yeah. I'm less graceful than Elaine dancing. Is what I'm saying.
Wow. See, that's impressive.
Just pessimistic Alicia is out in full force.
Yeah. A little pessimistic over there. but really, a lot is coming your way, not only on the TikTok, but here on YouTube as well. We'll be doing a bunch of YouTube content. So look for those videos, not just the podcast, but videos are coming your way as well. So keep your eyes peeled. Make sure you are subscribed. Hit the bell, all of those things. Even if you are listening to this as you're driving up the Harbor Freeway and you're driving by like Gage on the way to SC because you live in like PV Estates or something like that. For the one person who this might work out for, wouldn't it be great if you like nailed where somebody was when they were driving?
That'd be pretty fun.
That'd be weird. Would it be freaky if you were the listener?
It would definitely be freaky, but kind of.
But cool. Fun, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Gage. Okay, now they're coming up to Slauson, probably. either way, for you, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, be sure to subscribe to YouTube because to our YouTube, because so much more is coming than just the podcast. So be sure to check that out as well. Email address, RantroyFanside.com. Phone number, of course, 818-643-7227. Suck It, Whisper, and Show. Yeah, I would say I'm your host, but we already did that. Out of order, a little bit. The one thing that's not out of order is DraftKings. Because, Alicia, the NBA Finals are heating up. The about to start. The Stanley Cup Final is about to drop the puck. A lot of big matchups going on, which means it's a fantastic time for you to have a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users from DraftKings. DraftKings is offering a no-sweat bet sign-up for new users. New customers who sign up with the code Reign of Troy, all one word, Reign of Troy, and deposit at least $5 will receive a no-sweat bet up to $1,500 bonus on their first wager. This means if you place a first bet of $50 and you lose, you will receive a $50 credit in bonus bets straight to your account up to $1,500. You'll also receive one single game parlay reward every day using our code RANDOMTROY. And it not only gets you these bonuses, but directly supports this very podcast. So if you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure you use the code RANDOMTROY and maximize your first bet. This offer, of course, only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states such as Michigan. We're going to be talking about the Michigan State Spartans later on in this episode. That's a legal gambling state. So please remember to always gamble responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. Alicia, let's get into this one. We've got brief news.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Alicia, according to Nittany Central, USC Penn State on October 12th will be at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time on CBS.
That is the word. Initially, I think that there were people sort of drawing connections based on other game broadcasts that had been announced. Nittany Central says they have sources that say that is the 12:30 slot is correct. So we're going to it tracks logically. People are saying that that's what's happening in the background. So we're going to assume, even though it hasn't been officially announced, that's the game time for USC Penn State, which sort of follows what we expected, right? When USC is playing a lesser team, they're going to be in the Pac-12 after dark slate spot. When USC has a big matchup, a big marquee game,
it'll be 12:30
on CBS or 5 o'clock on Fox.
4:30, whatever they've got the prime time
their slot. I mean, thus far, no like big noon kickoffs. So that's a plus so far. But 12:30 Pacific for the Penn State game, which
we'll kick off at the Coliseum.
In October could be, there's the couple weeks before Halloween to me always, there's always a sneaky hot week in there. So 12:30, yeah. October 12th could be
vaguely fire season, yeah. Maybe on the little early side there, but October 12th, the Dodgers probably still haven't shit the bed in the playoffs by then. So traffic might be a little fun, but yeah. 12:30 p.m. But it could my dad will be thrilled.
It could be a really nice day too. It could be a nice fall day. So that's what we'll be rooting for there.
Yeah. Our friends from Pennsylvania, hopefully they bring a bunch of Yangling and, a bunch of, sunscreen at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time at the Coliseum on CBS. Alicia, let's get into sort of our discussion of the day, talking about USC's 2024 schedule. We've talked about it a bunch already, about like how difficult it's going to be. The narrative is out there that SC is going to the Big Ten, and my God, it's going to be so scary, right? They're going to have to play Michigan and Ohio State all the time, and Penn State and all these teams, and you know, they don't have to play insert bad Pac-12 team here anymore. But ESPN put out their strength of schedules according to FPI, everyone's favorite three letters. And the Trojans ranked 27th in the country, 10th out of 18 schools in the Big Ten. 27th and 10th in the Big Ten. Alicia, where do you stand on this?
On the surface, it's shocking, to be honest. I saw some people on Twitter when they saw the listing were like, wow, how is USC not in the top 25? And it is one of those things that runs counter to one of the discussions that we had last week, which was that, you know, it made sense for USC to try to get rid of the LSU game because the schedule is going to be so difficult. And that all makes sense. But then you look at it and it's not that USC has an easy schedule necessarily. Like, they're just not a top 25 schedule in terms of strength of schedule. They're 27th. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, who knows? The different, we don't see the raw numbers. The difference between Michigan in 18th and USC in 27th could be negligible. It's hard to say, but it does run counter to what we talked about. And that's really interesting, especially because the relative to the Big Ten, also USC is sort of a lower half of the grid strength of schedule. So what gives, right? Well, I sort of looked at it and I went in thinking that I was going to confirm a suspicion that I had, which was that USC's strength of schedule this year, relative to last year, because we've talked about how the 2023 schedule was actually just much more difficult than what's coming up. And my suspicion was that it was going to be something like USC schedule last year was very top heavy, but had sort of was bottom heavy as well. And that this year's schedule was going to be slightly top heavy, but also sort of a lot more like bottom half of FBS kind of teams that was going to sneakily weigh down USC's schedule. What I found didn't really, I mean, I suppose that what I found did support that, but not in the way I sort of expected. I expected this year's schedule on the top half to be even more difficult than last year, but it's kind of even in a lot of ways. Like USC played Oregon, Notre Dame, Washington. Those were top 15 teams. And I'm used FPI because we're talking about FPI strength of schedule. Those were top 15 teams for USC in 2023 that they played. And this year's schedule is top 15 teams are Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan, and LSU. So it is more top heavy, theoretically, than last year. And then everything after that, with the exception of Utah State, which is understandably, you know, a bottom 30 team in FBS, everybody else is just sort of very middling. Washington starts it at 31, and then you got Wisconsin at 39, and UCLA at 40, and Nebraska at 41, and Rutgers at 45, and Maryland at 46, and Minnesota at 61. So you sort of have this weird situation where the schedule is harder in the middle, harder at the top, less full at the bottom, and yet still not a top 25 schedule, where last year's schedule was a top 25 strength of schedule. So
this shocks me that it's not ranked higher, but in mostly because, yeah, I agree with you that you compare this year's schedule to last year's. It's not really different when you look at the top three or four toughest games this year versus last year's, pretty on par, especially when you consider who Washington was last year, right? Like, they went to the national championship game. And this year, SC's got, you know, LSU and Notre Dame and Penn State and Michigan, the defending national champ and all that. But it's the number of bad teams is just not there on this year's schedule. Only one opponent is in the bottom half of the college football rankings, 1 to 133 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's Utah State. There's just a ton of top 50 teams. 10 of the 12 opponents are top 50 teams. Anybody in the top 50 can beat you on any given day. I mean, SC lost to Stanford as a 40-point favorite, right? So yeah, obviously anybody, period, can beat you. But anyone in the top 50 especially can beat you on any given day. And you look at the Big Ten. The Big Ten has a ton of teams who are returning starters. And luckily for SC, those are the teams SC gets at home, which I think does help out compared to last year when SC had to go on the road to Oregon. They had to go on the road to Notre Dame. Those are, you know, top 15 teams when they faced them, which are really difficult. Iowa, number one in returning starters, tied with Nebraska. SC doesn't face Iowa. They get Nebraska at home. Fourth on the Big Ten list for returning starters is Penn State. SC gets them at home. Tied for fourth is Rutgers. SC gets them at home. They don't have to go to someone who has a ton of returning starters until sixth place Minnesota. And then again, you just scroll down that list, they're not playing another one until eighth place Maryland. So, like, there isn't this long list of SC going to face really difficult opponents who also have a bunch of returning starters. Mind you, I think the transfer portal really throws everything out here as being, you know, up for grabs, because I think it's easy to look at it and say, well, you know, Michigan and Washington lost everybody. They did. And I think that that's important context to have, but you have to remember that Michigan also has, you know, Donovan Edwards. They've got, you know, potentially the Heisman front runner, right? They've also got a pull to bring in anybody that they want in the transfer portal. So, and Washington has had to completely make over their team throughout the transfer portal too. So yeah, they don't return anybody, but the transfer portal, I think, sort of levels things out that way too. So I think when it comes down to it, this year's schedule and last year's schedule are going to end up being roughly about the same to me.
So the way I see it though, is that this year's schedule and last year's schedule are just different. They're a different kind of challenge.
They're different, but they're in terms of the strength of that challenge, to me, they're just about equal. Like, they're both scary schedules, mm-hmm. but this year's isn't markedly scarier than
any other one. Should be scary is that USC had some trouble with teams like Colorado and ASU. Sure. That were bottom half teams.
Well, SC was going to have trouble with anybody last year.
I mean, because of the defense, right? So, so all of this really, again, it's hard to judge anything here because it does all come down to the defense. But I did think it, you know, I think that this to me, it sort of reinforces again that USC's Big Ten schedule is difficult, but also USC avoided some of the bigger tests in the Big Ten that they could have had. Which brings me to Michigan, mm-hmm. because Michigan's strength of schedule, according to FPI, is 18th nationally. So again, not that much higher than USC's. But Michigan plays Fresno State, Texas, Arkansas State, USC, Minnesota, at Washington, at Illinois, Michigan State, Oregon, at Indiana, Northwestern, at Ohio State. Ohio State, Oregon are by far the cream of the crop in the Big Ten this year. These are both top five teams in every metric that you can find, statistical and just eye test. And then you got, you know, Washington and USC, which are huge question marks, but still teams that could be really good. And Texas was a playoff team last year. Like, why isn't Michigan's strength of schedule ranked higher? So like, it's just sort of like a weird, I'd love to know more about the philosophy behind this strength of schedule ranking. But Simon in the chat asks, wait, I thought you all have been saying that last year's schedule was tougher than this year. I could be dumb though. Simon, you're not dumb. No, what we've been saying is that last year's schedule, people talk about this year's schedule as being, you know, a murderer's row or whatever because of the Big Ten. And we kept looking at it and saying, well, but last year's schedule was insane in a very, very difficult Pac-12.
Right.
So like, I have been feeling like USC's schedule last year was tougher than this year, but in a different way. Like, we know
there was also all the quarterbacks last year, which this year's rostered, I mean, schedule doesn't have the top end quarterbacks.
And we know and this is also preseason versus final rankings, which sort of give us a little bit of more clarity, because we know for a fact that Oregon and Notre Dame and Washington and Arizona and Utah and UCLA were all very good teams last year, where this year, 2024, like, we're guessing that Washington is 31. We're guessing that Maryland is 46. We're guessing that Michigan is 12. Like, we don't actually, like, these numbers are going to change drastically from start to finish. So it is harder to say. But what I'll say is that, like, my perception that USC's schedule this year is easier relative to last year has kind of changed, specifically because I got to look at these numbers a little bit more closely and recognize that the challenge is so different.
Yeah.
USC has very difficult teams to beat on the top end: Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan, LSU, Washington. Everybody else, bar one, as we've said, of sort of like these mid teams, mid Big Ten teams that are sort of like whatever, but USC doesn't get like the doormat Big Ten teams. USC gets all of the could win a game, could make it difficult for you, could be a challenge kind of teams. Where last year, yes, the top half of USC's schedule was all very good teams, but the bottom half of USC's schedule, like, USC's struggles with those teams were on USC. That was completely on USC.
In another world where SC has a defense, SC's able to jiggle bag half
all
that
of
schedule.
Those teams. Yes. Yeah. And that's what Roger in the chat says. It's hard because Alex Grinch made every team an offensive juggernaut last year. Like, yeah, right. Like, USC shouldn't have struggled with those teams because those weren't great teams. Those weren't good teams. Where this year you look at this schedule and it's like, USC's defense better be better, because these are all teams that, like, unlike those bottom 50 teams that USC managed to beat in the end, like, these sort of mid FBS teams, you can't deal with you can't be that imbalanced of a team is what I'm saying. Like, you can get away with your crappy defense when you're playing like last year's Colorado or ASU or whatever. You can't necessarily get, and like, for instance, last year USC couldn't get away with a crappy defense playing UCLA in last year, and they were sort of like good but closer to mid than a lot of teams this year. Like, I don't know that you can get away with that against Nebraska or even Rutgers.
Okay. So I hear you. I agree. I think that the difference is you look at the Big Ten teams offensively. And I think that, you know, we talk about as a team, I think that there's a lot of difficult teams on this schedule, because like we said, there's a lot of top 50 teams, and anybody can lose to a top 50 team on any given day. But it's a little bit different, because even the teams that SC played last year that were below the top 50, like Colorado and Shedeur Sanders, even though Colorado was not good in a lot of ways last year, Shedeur Sanders is someone who could beat you. And he nearly did, right? Like, there were moments there where There were scary guys on offense who could do things. And I don't know that we've seen that yet in the Big Ten.
Certainly not.
Offensively, when we talked about it before, like, who's the best quarterback that SC is going to face this year? It's a big question mark. It's look at the guys that SC faced last year is completely different. I think the other thing, and Greg points this out, that luckily the way the schedule breaks down from the middle of the schedule on, like week seven on, SC is not in the in the Eastern time zone.
That's SC, extremely
SC is at home. Their last road game going into a Big Ten game is October 20th. So things that makes things a lot simpler that way. It was one of the fears that SC would have to be going back and forth, having to play in the snow. They won't have to play in the snow. The coldest game that they're going to get is Saturday, October 19th at Maryland. It's not going to snow in DC on October 19th. I can guarantee. I know there's, you know, climate change and all that stuff. It's not going to happen on October 19th. I'm just going to guarantee that.
In Baltimore last year,
Baltimore is not DC. Close. No. See,
hold on.
You're looking up historic weather is the hardest thing in the world to look up.
I just tried to get into it.
I do it all the time, and it's such a pain in the ass to do it. There is not an easy website to just, like, you know, weather.com should have a thing that says last year on this date. If it does, I haven't found it super easily. I think the other thing that I think bodes well for SC here, like we talked about, is a lot of the teams that SC is playing, these top 50 teams, are question mark teams who could be way better than we think or way worse. Nebraska returning 19 starters in year two of Matt Rhule. That is either going to make them a conference title contender or they're going to potentially be a pushover. Like, you don't know. You don't know about Wisconsin. You don't know about Minnesota. You don't know about Roger. Like, there's so many big question marks about these Big Ten teams. Well, any luck on the weather?
No, I did see potentially there might have been light rain on October 20th last year in College Park, but I couldn't tell if that was like historic rainfall averages or like there was literally rain on October 20th, 2023. So I don't know. We'll have to go deeper into that. But I mean, either way, I think the strength of schedule thing is interesting. I think Roger in the chat was talking about how USC has the hardest non-conference. Like, I think that USC's non-conference schedule is clearly one of the more difficult non-conference schedules in college football.
Historic average is 68 degrees.
There you go. See, that's pleasant enough. It's a little chilly for me, but not too bad. But USC's non-conference is very difficult. But this does go back to something we talked about when the Big Ten schedule came out, looking at what USC's draw in the Big Ten was very fortunate. Just on that. Like, yes,
it's fortunate because SC misses Oregon and it misses Ohio State.
Yes, and that is the most important thing. Now, we don't know about Minnesota,
and they Maryland, don't have to Rutgers, go to Nebraska. Penn State.
Yeah, and they don't have to go to Penn State. Going to Michigan is certainly difficult, but like if you're only going to have one truly very, very difficult road game.
I would say of the in terms of the scary buildings to play in, I don't think SC plays any of the top five. They don't play at Ohio State, which is scary. They don't play at Wisconsin, which is scary. It's a tough environment to play. At Penn State is scary. They don't play them on the road.
Think the Big House is scary?
Not comparatively to those guys. In terms of like noise and all that kind of stuff, I think the Big House is a lot like the Coliseum.
It's like it's too big.
It's in the Rose Bowl. Like, it's a little too big. It looks awesome. Lots of pageantry, all that stuff. Intimidating is not what that is.
Okay.
It is a scary road game because the defending national champions, right? But like, it's not because of the environment per se.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and again, like USC avoids Autzen, and that's a huge one. There's just there's a lot of things that USC avoids. There are a lot of who the hell knows with Wisconsin, Nebraska, Rutgers, Maryland, Minnesota. Like, I just think that that group, I can't tell you right now for sure which one of those is going to be USC's bugaboo, but one of them is going to be an issue. I just don't know who, and I don't know which ones are going to be worse than they look like right now and which ones are going to be better than they look like right now. I think it's so impossible to tell. I think this year in particular, I was looking at like the top 25s in general, and I was the questions around so many of these teams. Like, this might be the most unfathomable preseason like setup this year.
Because Michigan could be 12-0, or they could be 8-4.
Yes.
Washington could be 12-0 or 0-12.
Yeah.
I will believe both.
We genuinely, like, it's
volatile as hell.
It's extremely volatile. And like their number of sure things are very low, but like the number of like, Alabama could be 12-0 or 8-4.
Right.
You know, and Notre Dame is always an uncertainty. Ole Miss could roll the table, or they could be Ole Miss. Like, Clemson could be Clemson again, or they could be Clemsoning again. Mm-hmm. What is Florida State without Jordan Travis? Like, the quarterbacks that have left the game, the coaches that have left the game, the coaches that have swapped positions, like, there are so many more unknowns than I can ever remember looking at a top 25 or looking at the sort of national picture.
Yeah.
And it makes me so like think about just someone like Iowa, another team that USC was very lucky to avoid in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
If Iowa stays good on defense and gets there again, they're the reverse USC. If they stay as good as they were in the one part of the game and get even just to average on their bad side, which for Iowa is their offense, Iowa could go undefeated. But they could also have a terrible offense again and just be extremely mid.
It really does feel like not only are we starting a new era of college football because SC is transitioning to a new conference,
mm-hmm.
but the entire landscape of college football feels like it is sizably different right now than it was 6 months ago, right?
Yes.
All the teams moving in the conferences. You have
the biggest coaches in the sport have moved
or retired.
Yeah.
You have the playoff expanding.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
From 4 teams to 12. You've got, you know, all these great quarterbacks who are in the Pac-12 are, you know, gone. The Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. Like, everything is changed. The TV contracts are changing. SC's going to play games on CBS. The CBS contract is no longer the SEC. It's the Big Ten. Like, there is so much that is changing. I feel like the world of college football that we know of is going to be remarkably different starting now, which makes it even cooler that we get the video game. But like, it's scary. Like, I as a traditionalist and someone who, you know, wants the college football I grew up with, and that's a comfort blanket for me, at the same time, like, it's exciting, right? Like, because who knows what to expect? And I think that this is the other thing that I think is frustrating about this SC team and this offseason is that all these questions that you're saying about Nebraska and Wisconsin and, you know, Washington and Michigan, couldn't you have those same questions about SC? I know, but like, if SC was 12-0 or 2-10, well, not okay. Yeah, I can't imagine extreme. 2-10.
Yeah.
But if SC was 12-0 or 6-6, like, I could believe a world in which that happens.
I can't imagine a world in which USC goes 2-10, but I can certainly imagine the
just about everything
where
in between
6-6 happens. And
yeah,
not that I want to live in that universe, but I can certainly conceive of how things go to get there. And I can also conceive of how things go to get to 12-0. So, but I can always do that. So that's to be fair. But yeah,
I actually think this is a case of optimistic, Alicia. There's just so much to figure out, and it makes doing some of these like preseason podcast stuff. I feel like I just waffle back and forth about whether or not, whether or not this feels like a too steep of a hill for USC to climb, whether this feels like USC actually could do something interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's difficult.
I know this is not fun. This is a cop out, but I think the crux of the matter is if anyone goes into this season and is telling you something that is for sure, that they think that they know for sure, they are selling you something.
Yeah.
They might be running for office this year because
unless they're telling you nobody knows is going to be really good. Like,
sure. That's the only thing I'm going to buy.
The only thing I'm on board with.
Like, I think Ohio State is improved. I don't know that Ohio State is improved. I will add Oregon to that list. I think Oregon is going to be damn good.
Part of that too is that Oregon, like of all of the quarterbacks that changed spots, Oregon to me got the surest thing of them all. Dylan Gabriel will be a very good quarterback at Oregon.
Yes.
Dylan Gabriel, I mean, maybe he won't get to Bo Nix's point, but he certainly won't drop too far below Bo Nix and in a worst case scenario, which gives us a lot of certainty around Oregon in a way that like with Ohio State, it's like, I don't want to put too much on the quarterback, but also like, we don't necessarily know for sure how all of these quarterbacks are going to fare. Will Howard at Ohio State, Will Rogers at Washington.
Will Howard what?
Yeah. Alex Orji at Michigan, maybe depending on who wins that job. Like, I don't, who the heck knows?
Yeah. You never know. You never, never know. Well, speaking of the Big Ten, Alicia, I think it's time that we get into our Big Ten minutes. Are you ready? A Big Ten minutes?
Let's do it.
Let's do a Big Ten minutes on Michigan State, shall we?
A Big Ten minutes.
All right, let's talk about the Michigan State University. Not the Michigan State University, but just Michigan State University.
It could be the if they wanted to.
No, it isn't. When we get to Penn State and Ohio State, we will understand why the exists.
Okay.
Michigan State University, founded in 1855, originally is the Agricultural College of the State of Michigan.
That's a mouthful.
They changed a million different names, including Michigan State College of Agricultural and Applied Science from 1925 to 1955. But since 1964, they are just Michigan State University, MSU. East Lansing is the location. They are the Spartans. Alicia, you've been waiting for this one. How did they get the Spartans? Because a journalist said so.
Hey, the best way to get your name.
In 1925, the school was renamed from Michigan
Agricultural.
That word. It's a tough word to say. I'm dumb. Agricultural College to Michigan State College, thus making their previous nickname, the Aggies, sort of no longer relevant. Just like Colorado State and Oklahoma State, when they were Colorado A&M and Oklahoma A&M, they dropped the Aggies when they went to state. They became the Cowboys and the Rams, right? Well, Michigan State held a contest with their student body to pick a name. The name that was selected, Staters. The Michigan State Staters.
Oh, my God.
But a writer at the Lansing State Journal said, this is stupid. I hate this.
Give that man, give that writer at the Lansing Journal, State Journal, he should have a statue on Michigan State's university campus.
He asked the school to go through all the submissions. It's like found something with alliteration, which was Spartans, and ran with it. But true to fact, in the Big Ten, where there's a mystery involved, nobody knows exactly who submitted the word Spartans into the contest. But either way, he won the contest, unlike George. And so he liked the word Spartans and made it work by sort of like brute force by 1926. And the baseball season stuck around, just kept saying the word Spartans until it stuck. His friends picked up on
it. That's my favorite.
His colleagues picked up on it. And Michigan State Spartans was born. One weird fact about Michigan State, from 2007 to 2010, they had a campus in Dubai at the Dubai International Academic City. It has since closed because they were not getting enough enrollees. They wanted 100 enrollees a year, and they couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Now let's get to Michigan State's fight song called Victory for MSU. But Alicia, for 100 years, from 1915 to 2015, it was called literally the MSU fight song.
What I'm learning is that people in power at Michigan State lack creativity.
On the banks of the Red Cedar, there's a school that's known to all. Its specialty is winning, and those Spartans play good ball. Spartan teams are never beaten. All through the game they fight for the only colors, green and white. Go through for MSU. Watch the points keep growing. Spartan teams are bound to win. They're fighting with a vim. Rah, rah, rah. See the team, their team is weakening, and we're going to win this game. Fight, fight, rah, team fight. Victory for MSU.
Okay, they had me until they're fighting with a vim.
What's a vim? Is that like a virtual SIM card? I was guessing
I'd Google it and it would be like Vim text editor, a free open source screen-based text editor.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I don't know. The lyrics originally included phrases like, quote, a school that's known to all, its specialty is farming and those farmers play football. But of course, the school renamed itself not the agricultural college anymore. Also, you know how it says at the end, see their team is weakening, we're going to win this game? It used to be Michigan is weakening and we're going to win this game.
Okay, vim is robust energy and enthusiasm.
That sounds like somebody who lives in Sedona and eats
mushrooms it's the
on the reg.
It's the accusative form of this, which is really weis. So it's really weem in Latin. Which means strength, force, power, vigor, and energy.
So it went from Bohemian to Latin all of a sudden.
It's a Latin word.
Not a fan. Let's talk about the alums. James Caan, the actor, didn't graduate, but he went. How about Gary Starkweather, the inventor of the laser printer? I love a laser printer.
I don't like that, man. I hate every printer that I've ever had to.
No, laser printers are great.
Are they?
When I was at SC, I was working at an Office Depot, and I invested in a crappy Laser Brother printer.
Oh, is that the one that we just threw away?
Yeah. And I invested in, you know, instead of the $5 for the cheap ream of paper, I got the $10 hammer mill, baby. Oh. The laser paper. You have no idea how many students in that writing 340 class were like, oh my God, this paper is so good. Who has this?
Look at you, big man on campus.
That was me. Yeah, that was me. I was the paper guy. Exactly. How about Jan Harald Brunvand, a writer who popularized the word urban legend? He went to MSU. Dan Gilbert, the Cavs owner. Pat Foley, the former voice of the Blackhawks. You know, tree, turdy, tree, and the turd. Pat Foley. he went to MSU. Dan Giesling, the greatest Big Brother contestant of all time. Tyler Oakley, Jim Delegatti, creator of the Big Mac, Jamel Hill. Baseball stars, including Dodger legend Kirk Gibson, Padres legend Steve Garvey, and hockey Hurricane legend and head coach Rod Brindamore, Duncan Keith, unfortunately. Football, how about Brad Van Pelt, Kirk Cousins, Plaxico Burress, and of course everyone's favorite quarterback, Jeff Smoker. Alicia, what's your perception of Michigan State fans? You got any?
I don't.
I think they're fine.
They seem cool.
Yeah. I know Michigan people call him the little brother, but like that's just rivalry talk.
I do feel like I've seen a lot of little brother-y sort of takes, but nothing that like, I mean, I don't interact with them enough, but nothing that like rises to true dislike on my part. One of our fansiders, Connor Muldowney, is a Michigan State guy.
He's awesome.
He seems cool.
Big fan of Connor. Football side of things for Michigan State. Six times they have been national champs, but not since 1966. 1 year removed, 1 year worse than the Toronto Maple Leafs, unfortunately. Last Big Ten title, 2015. all time 4-4 against the Trojans. They have not met since 1988, the 1988 Rose Bowl. But fun fact about that time, 1987, the 1987 season, USC began and ended the season with losses to Michigan State. It was the first time since World War II, when the schedule was really weird and SC played Cal and UCLA twice in the same season. First time since World War II that SC played an opponent twice in the same season. Oh. Only three times SC has lost twice to a team, Michigan State in 1987, the 2015 team that lost to Stanford twice, and of course, 2 years ago, Utah. Next time USC and Michigan State link up will be 2025 in LA. And Jonathan Smith, the new head coach of Michigan State, heads over from Oregon State, who, of course, got sort of relegated. He leaves his alma mater. The Spartans were 4-8 last year after firing Mel Tucker, of course, midseason for, just masturbating on the phone with a sexual assault survivor and advocate. He's no longer with the Spartans, but Jonathan Smith is. Lots of change. 11 of 22 starters return, but only two on offense. So Jonathan Smith is going to have to sort of beef up that offense. What say you about Michigan State as it stands right now?
They got Aiden Childs, which is pretty big in terms of quarterback. The rest of that roster needs a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how quickly Jonathan Smith is going to be able to put that work in, to be honest. He might need some time there, and hopefully they give him some time. I think time worked for him at Oregon State. They should sort of treat it very similar.
Yeah. Walter in the chat says, how could you not mention Irving Magic Johnson? Well, there you go. Irving Magic Johnson went to Michigan State. Of course, other basketball stars, Draymond Green, Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo, not only the head coach of Michigan State basketball, but he went to Michigan State. And folks, there it is. 10 minutes on the Michigan State Spartans. Spartans and Trojans. Thematic name coming up next year.
Look at you hit the buzzer.
I know. Right on cue.
Love it.
All right. Let's get to the mailbag, shall we?
You've got mail.
All right. Let's start with a message we got in the YouTube chats from Soccer. It says, are you guys going to the USC-LSU game in Vegas?
Sadly.
As it stands now, no.
No,
not right now.
It's not currently in our plan.
We're hoping.
My FOMO is already getting very strong. It would be very cool if we could make that happen.
Yeah. We're going to Washington for sure.
For sure going to Washington. That is already booked. So.
And we are trying to hope things fall in our favor with Michigan right now.
Hopefully. Cross your fingers, everybody, because there are some logistical things that need to work out there that if they do, we're money. If they don't, we're not.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Greg says, here's a Mike Leach question. Who would win a Big Ten mascot battle? Ooh.
Oh. Who would? Let me look this.
I'm thinking SC and Michigan State have a really strong chance here.
Are there any mythical creatures that can get in the way here?
You could argue US the Trojans.
The Trojans were literal people, though.
Was Troy real?
Yes.
I don't. Isn't it?
The city of Troy is hard to say, but like
that's what I'm saying.
But the
but remember, Wolverine's not an animal. Remember that Wolverine's is not an animal. It's a concept.
Okay, so we've already established that Illini,
I think
Hawkeyes,
Illini and Hawkeyes is a person.
Hoosiers are people.
Yes, but they're unarmed people.
Wolverines are certainly scary animals, but not.
Again, like, not the Wolverines essentially is a person, though.
Gophers, no. Cornhuskers are a people, correct?
Yes.
Wildcats.
The Cornhuskers are a tired people. They've been working all day.
Buckeyes are a nut, right?
Literally, I'm going to make. Hear me out. The Buckeyes in Maryland might weirdly have a chance here. The Terrapins, couldn't they just hide in their shell? And secondly,
they could hide in their shell, but like you could, like turtles can go into their shell and you can still kill them. Like,
you just outlive a turtle.
Human beings can certainly kill a turtle in its shell. Like that.
Okay,
can be
but
done.
How about the nut? The nut could live.
No. The nut, no. Okay, so for my money, again, Boilermakers are a people, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so what we've got, and Badgers, no. What we're down to is the three armed humans of knights, Spartans, and Trojans, and then the Nittany Lions. So Nittany Lions are like mountain lions, apparently?
Yes, they're mountain lions from Mount Nittany.
I think that a Spartan, a Trojan, or a Scarlet Knight with sword or other implement, yeah, with armor or in fighting skill could survive a mountain lion.
Okay, here's the question. Spartan versus knight and Trojan, it all comes down to weapon and tools, right? So
yeah,
a Spartan would have a bow, right?
Not necessarily.
Wouldn't they most likely have a bow and a big ass shield?
I mean,
they could fire arrows
theoretically, but I don't think that would be their primary.
A knight would have a stallion and
that's
a
the
sword.
Thing. A knight specifically
has armor,
is armored and
more
usually,
armor than a Trojan would.
Usually on horseback. Being on horseback.
Well, so would a Trojan be on horseback?
That's true. A Trojan would be on horse. Well, not necessarily though.
I think in the context of what USC is, I think the Trojan is on horseback.
Oh, are we doing like the literal mascots if we're doing literal mascots, then USC, then the Trojan rider is running the hell away from this. Well, wait, no, but are we doing Traveler?
I think when you're talking about
the idea of what
the USC Trojan is.
Traveler would have a hard time with the Nittany Lion, I'm going to say. Although I don't know.
No, that's fair. So you're saying that the Nittany Lion would take away the horses from Rutgers and USC.
If we're going with like a historic.
But then the human could beat the lion with
if
the sword.
If we're talking about like the actual
literal
mascots.
I think the Spartan might be able to take this if they've got a bow. They got arrows?
But why wouldn't the Trojan have arrows?
Have you ever seen Tommy Trojan have a quiver?
Does the actual Spartan, like Michigan State Spartan mascot, have arrows?
I mean, not that I've seen.
So why would? So again, like.
Okay, I am.
I don't know that
I am Googling Spartan warrior, and I'm going to images. Spears.
Yeah, spears.
Okay, see, I think a spear might be better.
A spear would be very effective.
I think a spear might be better than a sword. Because you've got distance. You've got distance.
Well, but the Trojans would have used spears as well. Like, these are just, again.
But ancient. Again, USC's Trojan does not have a spear. He's got a horse. I guess
you
she,
can
she's
have
got
a spear
horse.
On a horse, you know.
But she rides with a sword.
Okay.
The Trojan rider, she's got a sword.
Okay. But again, if we're going back to the literal Trojan rider versus the costume mascot that Michigan State has, give me Traveler and the Trojan rider.
But it's not literally the furry.
Okay. Okay. Then like, again, I can give my Trojan warrior a spear.
Okay. And- so I imagine that Jake is just yelling, bear, bear, bear.
No,
bear.
But it's a Bruin. It's a teenage bear. It's not a full size bear yet.
But we've also learned on TikTok, you take the man, not the bear. In this instance,
no, you take the bear, not the man.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's right. You'd rather be with the bear.
You'd rather be with the bear than the man.
Than the man. That's yes. That's
yeah.
Fair.
The man is beating the bear. I think the Spartans win.
Plus,
we're missing the biggest part here.
But here's my thing.
Trojans, like, there's a reason that the truly incomparable Leland Stanford Jr. University Marching Band always says that USC is the greatest losers in the history of literature. In that case, I think the Spartans do beat the Trojans. Then again, the Spartans were losers too.
Spartans are also
famous
very famous losers.
Cocky losers.
What I will say is, I am willing to give it to the Spartan if we're talking about like Spartans, because that was a militaristic society whose entire like way of life was built around military action. The individual Spartan soldier, like pound for pound, was probably more capable of being of winning this kind of battle than the sort of average Trojan soldier.
Okay, so then does the knight come back into play, because the knight's got full body armor?
See,
the knight would have gone to knight school and learned how to fight. He wouldn't just be some infantryman.
Okay, but it depends on like historical period too, because here's the problem with having a lot of armor. A lot of armor makes you
less mobile. What if it's Jaime Lannister in there?
It makes you less mobile. So if you are a Spartan warrior and you know the weak points on the armor, you can take out a knight quite easily, actually.
But knights would have come later.
And also, like, there's different eras of knights. Like, there are knights that were, like, all for the in the aristocracy, that were all just sort of, like, for show. Mm-hmm. And they had squires who did everything for them, and they didn't actually do anything in battle because they were aristocrats or whatever.
Also, Scarlet Knight, it's not Lewis Hamilton. I know he's going to Ferrari to drive the Scarlet car, but this is not Sir Lewis Hamilton we're talking about when we're talking about Rutgers. Literally, their mascot is a guy with armor.
Okay, so here's where I've decided from this conversation. Somebody out there has missed an opportunity to do what was that show, which is the only thing I've been thinking about this entire conversation. Where they would do
celebrity deathmatch?
No, where they would do like a scientific, like
sports science
thing. No, to figure out who would win in these battles. No, it was like literally they'd take a Spartan versus a Trojan and they'd test all the weaponry and they'd give them a rating and like they'd do a simulation to figure out who would actually win. What is that called?
I don't know, but we can get Adam Savage on it. Sure, you do it right into his podcast. He's also here on YouTube, by the way. Test it. Go check it out. I don't know. I'm taking the Spartans. Who are you taking?
I'm taking the Spartans. Deadliest Warrior. Need a college sports mascot. Deadliest Warrior. Deadliest mascot. Television program. Let's do it. It would like roll with it. Figure out how to put this all together. I would watch the crap out of this if they had to do an examination of whether or not a Tar Heel would beat a Blue Devil.
No, the answer is no. Anyways, big shout out to Alex coming through with a huge super chat.
Yes,
thank
Alex
you. We appreciate you. We couldn't do anything without you and without the support of our rot bots. Thank you. As we cheers our very tame water.
Yeah.
It's could be vodka. You never know.
Thank you to everybody in the chat who has said Deadliest Warrior. And yes, Greg and I are on the same page. That show was awesome, and I would watch much more of it if they gave me college football themed quandaries. Yeah. Queries.
Tim in LA says, what's your first to do in CFB 25? Do you go with Road to Glory, a dynasty with USC, a created team, an existing one star? What do you do?
I think it would probably be the online dynasty, because so many people who want to like do online dynasty that it's just going to have to be diving right in there. I think that I probably
online dynasty league. We're not talking about ultimate team.
Yeah. Have they said they're going to be an ultimate team kind of thing?
Yeah, because that's what they need. Like,
I'm going to try that.
If it's anything like Mutt, you will see that it sucks.
Okay, yes, but Futt has like
Futt is good. I like Futt Diamond a lot, Dynasty,
so
good.
Maybe they'll trash. Find a nice middle ground between like Mutt and
maybe. Futt. I doubt it. The other thing, one of my pet peeves, first of all, one of my biggest pet peeves about this video game coming out, is the number of people who are not giving it a chance strictly based on whatever it is, preconceived notions. I am a full believer that the problem with sports video games is that the developers do not have a full correct cycle to build a game. If you build any video game, it takes years, years and years and years and years to build a video game. and develop it and publish it and put it out. In college video games, that does not happen because the leagues, for marketing reasons, need the games to be updated every single year. They need the titles to be put out every year, new games every year. So the developers do not have a full window to develop the game. And so instead, they end up being games that are very barely iterated at all from year to year. And this is why people complain that, you know, it's just you're just buying content, you're just buying, you know, DLC, blah, blah, blah. And that's true in a lot of ways because the developers don't get a chance. However, this college football game, they've literally gotten the full, correct, accurate cycle that they would have needed to make a video game. If there's any sports game in the history of sports that deserves a chance, it's this one. I know it's EA. I know people bitch about EA, but this game deserves a chance because the developers have actually had time to build this thing. And so,
and everyone who's played it so far says it's actually really fun.
Yes.
So I'm here.
Yes.
I'm here for
first,
it.
First thing I'm doing, honestly, is probably playing you or one of our buddies in like a,
just a
play now exhibition kind of thing. But then I think that, yeah, I'm going to go in, I'm going to have multiple dynasties. We're going to have one with our league, surely. I think I will make one just on my own. The other thing is,
yeah,
Alicia, should we tell the people that we're going to start streaming?
We are.
We've got it.
We have a whole plan. Well, yeah, we've gone all in. The impetus behind changing our studio was literally to do streaming. So, you will see us in a Twitch video,
YouTube video.
Near you. We have some actually really, really, really fun plans for content that takes that game and mixes it with what we do here, which is talk about USC. I'm really, really excited about some of the stuff that we have planned. So looking forward to that, but.
Yeah.
So first things first, I just want to start playing the game. Like, I just want to.
First thing, 9 p.m. on July, whatever date it is. No, because early bird gets the worm, baby.
That's right.
July 19th. I'm not waiting that long.
July
15th.
July 15th.
9 p.m. July 15th. I think I will immediately just go into a game to just see what it's like. And then after that, yeah, create a dynasty. I'm also going to check build a team. I want to see what build a team is like. Like I said, Jicklebag State, maybe?
Greg asked, are we going to see you guys mad when you lose? Greg, my friend.
I don't think
you guys are prepared for what you're about to experience.
So, Alicia was into FIFA and FIFA Ultimate Team FUT more... I mean, earlier than I was, she got really into it, especially like 2-3 years ago. And I got into it last game and then this game that I've gotten addicted to it. But she would play in the other room and all of a sudden I would just out of nowhere, I would hear,
God damn, mother,
expletive this, expletive that.
Get in the effing net!
Just whatever it is, right? Like, you know, all those things. Nobody gets more upset than Alicia.
We
would have a racing league where we would race the F1 game. We had our little racing sim rigs, and we would do that with our friends. And everybody laughed at how Alicia hit the wall. It was, you know. So, yes, you will know.
There's a reason that I have been called Cheryl from Remember the Titans. That's what I'll say. I have been called that. Now, Michael gets very, very into the game as well. Like, he uses less curse words than I do, but he is very up and down depending on what's going on.
Currently, I'm playing Football Manager. Oh, baby, I'm so addicted.
Yes, he is.
I'm watching football and not even playing the stupid game. I'm just watching the render of the sim, and I am like, you know, hooting and hollering like I'm watching a Chelsea match. Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Is it?
Let's go to a question from Cameron in the chat. Who will win the NBA finals?
I recognize that everybody smart about basketball that I know is saying the Celtics. So like, I fully recognize this, but I'm going off of vibes because that's what I have to do. And I cannot get Luka Doncic. I mess it up every time. Luka. There's a reason we just call him Luka, against the Timberwolves being just like the most, just like the coldest, most ruthless basketball player on the planet. I kind of have Mavs, but that's purely because I just can't get that image of Luka like taunting the fans in Minnesota.
The answer is the Mavs, because who the hell wants the Celtics to
win?
I mean,
that's true. I'm not a Laker fan, but also like I don't like Boston sports, so
nobody wants the Celtics to win. Who you got in the Stanley Cup Finals? Oilers and Panthers. I'm torn on that one for two reasons.
Okay, if there's one three thing reasons. I know about hockey, it's that Connor McDavid is ridiculous. But is one player the kind of like can one hockey player who's not a goalie win the Stanley Cup final?
I mean, famously, the answer has been no for the last decade. So
there you go.
I would love to see Connor McDavid hoist the Stanley Cup. He deserves it. If you have eyes, you know that he's the greatest hockey player to ever put his skates on a rink. Like, it's insane watching him. Like, no one has ever played like him ever. Like, he is that good. But a Canadian team has not won since 1993 when the Canadians ruthlessly stole the Stanley Cup Finals from the Kings. In 1993, and I need that streak to stay alive. Canada not winning the Stanley Cup is funny.
It's objectively funny.
It's funny. I'm sorry. It is funny. I feel bad for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, but it's funny, man. It is funny. So give me the Panthers. So yeah, that's gonna wrap us up. We'll be back next Wednesday, as always, the 12th, June 12th, my mom's birthday. That'll be fun. And we'll be also, by the way, we'll keep your eye out, as we mentioned, for more content on YouTube and on TikTok, and soon, potentially, a Twitch near you. So a lot of stuff coming your way. We're super excited about it. We hope you are as well. Email address, reignoftroy@fanside.com. Phone number, 818-643-7227. Second What's Brewing Show. And yeah, well, that'll wrap it up. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Until then, see ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.